Well, good morning, and once again, welcome to everyone. We have guests with us, and certainly we want you to know how precious you are to us and how good it is for you to be here with us this day. Be reminded that if there's anything that you have concerns about or there's any questions that you have concerning our worship and or the lesson that is brought forth, don't hesitate for a moment. Just come on up and talk with me or one of the men, and we'll be happy to sit down and open our Bibles and have that discussion with you with pleasure. You're here, if you're visiting with us, it's kind of a special day. We've had 10 special days up to this point in time. We began back in January with a monthly series called the One Another Commands. And if we think of the 13 one another commands that are in the Bible, and we chose 12 of them, and each month at the beginning, the first meeting day of that month, we've had a one another command. We started off with we're all members of one another, and how we are to honor one another, how we are to encourage and build one another up. We must care for one another. Of course, love one another. We must serve one another. And we went on with that and how we are to greet one another with that holy kiss. And we must be like-minded towards one another. And last month, to be kind to one another. And this month, we begin a new lesson that came from that scripture that was read in your hearing from 1 Peter chapter 4. And specifically at verse 9, where Peter writes, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. So we want to begin this lesson simply defining, of course, that word hospitality. Hospitality, of course, is a Greek word, and it comes from, it's a compound word, philokinos. And philokinos is simply one word, philos, which we're all familiar with, which really means to love. In context with this, it means a lover of, and the kenos is a word that is translated stranger. So the word means, of course, love of strangers. And in 3 John, it's used in chapter 1, verse 5. There's actually only one chapter, verse 5. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. And we see that word strangers there, which comes from this particular word. Dear friends, you are acting faithfully in whatever you do for the brothers and sisters, especially when they are strangers. And that's 3 John 5 in the Christian Standard Bible translation. And so we're focused there especially on strangers. And then we read from Ephesians 2:19, thou therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And that's where we see the same word stranger in a negative sense, that those who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, those who have believed and repented and been baptized into Christ, confessing him as the Son of the living God, are no longer strangers to God. We have been united in this grand fellowship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hospitality is a qualification. And listen, it is a qualification for an elder. But let's not forget that it also is a qualification for every saint in the body of Christ. It's not just for elders. And hospitality in many ways has become a lost art by really too many. Some of you may remember when. We hear that all the time, remember when. And, you know, remember when everybody on the street in my neighborhood knew everybody else on the street in my neighborhood. Everybody, you know, we just were friends all around. And when we think of that community, we think back when, you know, strangers would come into the community. Maybe it was families. Maybe it was individual. And people would, they would bake pies and cookies. And, you know, they would, go over there with chocolates and treats, and they would knock on the door and say, "Hi, I'm your neighbor, and my name is..." And they would learn of that person, and before you knew it, they were no longer strangers. When we think about the church, it's pretty much the same thing. We have strangers come through our door, whether they are or are not members of the church. They're strangers to us, and we greet them, and we try to learn a little bit about them. And if somebody comes in the door and they're not a member of the body of Christ, we meet them and greet them, and we are hospitable towards them. And eventually, if things go well, we're no longer strangers. So that's how it has worked in the past, and that's the way it needs to work in the future. And now, you know, I hope that through this study of God's Word on this particular subject, that you'll gain a spiritual resolve, a strength, and a commitment to reverse what is inhospitable about us. And I'm not saying we are, I'm just saying in me, in you as an individual, if there's something that isn't hospitable, we want to reverse that by the love and the power of God. And I want to clarify that there are always, in every church, members who I believe have always been hospitable, always welcoming, always encouraging, strangers, non-strangers. It's something that is just ingrained in us through the love of our God, who was very hospitable towards us. People that are extremely generous, people that have a great desire to entertain strangers, to have friendships and create fellowship with people. And that's something, whether it's physical or spiritual, there's always members in every congregation of the Lord who have those qualities. And it's not them that really fall short. It's those of us who may not live up to those standards. And so we need to understand that from the very onset, hospitality is a commandment. It is not a choice. Right? There's many questions that we should ask. Is there a scripture, direct command, proved necessary conclusion that would free us from the responsibility of being hospitable? And if there is, I'd like to see it. Where is the command? Another question, is there a scripture proving hospitality is something that we can choose to do or not to do? Right? When Peter said, be hospitable to one another without grudge, where's the command that says, accept this and accept that, accept for? Another question, if we're able to take an honest assessment of our relationships together, would there be doubts or concerns in the area of practicing hospitality today? Does hospitality only apply to certain Christians? And if so, where's the scripture? Can we legitimately excuse ourselves from practicing hospitality, right? We can say, well, that's just not my given talent. You know, we always say that God gave this talent, that talent, that talent. Mine's not hospitality. Can we do that? It applies to other people in the church, not me. Is that really right? And listen, there's a real danger in that. In answering these questions based on one's past practices is usurping God's authority. Remember how we establish authority through God's word. Direct command, apostolic approval, and necessary conclusions. And I believe that if you read the New Testament, you'll find direct commands to every saint to be hospitable. And I believe you'll find apostolic examples where the saints were hospitable. And I believe that you'll find the necessary conclusion that saints need to be hospitable. And so think about that. Here's a, you know, I remember when. If you want it to be like it was, you need to be like you were. And what I mean by that is I hear Christians all the time telling me, I remember when these pews were full. I remember when, you know, everybody showed up at every meeting. I remember when you had to bring in seats when we had gospel meetings and there was no room left in the building to hear the preacher, and we had people stood in the foyer and in the parking lot. I remember when. And over the years, I've heard that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. People talking about back in the day. You want it to be like it was? Then you need to be like you were back in the day. This morning in Ezekiel, we read about people who blame their fathers for all the troubles in their life. Who do we blame today? I think we all need to look in the mirror. Before we say remember when, I think we need to look in the mirror. Paul said that which has, or Solomon rather, said that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. So do you want to be like it was? Nothing new. Something's changed. Maybe it was us. Oh, how I wish I grew up back when it was like that in the church. To experience those days. You know, if something has changed, it isn't anything that cannot be unchanged. Let's read some scriptures together. Turn over to Romans with me, please, chapter 12. And we'll read these in light of thinking about what the topic here is, you and your hospitality, really. Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 13. The Apostle Paul says, "Be kindly and affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer." And then look at verse 13. "Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." You know, you break that down, verse 10 and 11. It would be impossible to practice all these things in verse 10 and 11 without being hospitable and without love. You can't take one from the other. And then in verse 12, you notice something there. How all the qualities of verse 10 and 11, they help us to describe verse 12. How we can rejoice, be patient in tribulation, and continue steadfastly in prayer. And then in verse 13, of course, distributing to the needs of the saints. That means the benevolence towards the saints and towards the brethren who are in prison. You know, Jesus talks about that in Matthew chapter 25. You look at that, verses 35 and 36. You know, providing food, water, shelter. Jesus explains how they were inviting the brethren. And they were clothing the brethren, visiting the brethren who were in prison. Jesus makes it very clear. Given to hospitality is much more than just the happy hello. And so, you know, the subject of inviting, welcoming members and strangers into your home. That's what it really means. And into your heart. And one last point about verse 13 where he says distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. You know, there's a better translation for that word given. When we think of that, the Christian Standard Bible tells us the saints given to hospitality. The Christian Bible has to pursue hospitality. That's what that word given actually means, to pursue, to chase after. So it's not a lackadaisical thing. It's something that's very important to us because it's very important to God. We think of you and your hospitality. Remember Hebrews chapter 13 and 1 and 2. Let brotherly love continue, but do not forget to entertain strangers. For by so doing, many have unwittingly entertained angels. You know, we think about, first, you can't separate verse 1 from verse 2. Brotherly love and being hospitable, they're like a hand in a glove. Many of today's Christians have done that very thing very often to their own benefit, and many Christians do not do that very thing to their own peril. And many have, for the most part, remembered this command and practiced it, and many have forsaken the command and forgot that love and hospitality. You know, and then you think about our text from 1 Peter, be hospitable to one another without grumbling, right? You can't leave out the command not to grumble. Oh, we're going to have a fellowship meal. Oh, don't tell me. It's going to be Saturday. That's the day I golf. Don't tell me it's going to be Saturday. That's the day that I mow the lawn. Oh, man, you got to be joking me. We're going to have another one of them fellowship meals. Oh, it's going to last late in the night, and I'm going to miss Wheel of Fortune. Right? Without grumbling, he says. And remember one another means the church, all the saints. And the saints, quite frankly, the saints that often grumble the most are the ones that are the ones that say, remember when? Remember when it used to be? Remember when people, we had fellowship meals and the house was full? And today they grumble when you set up a fellowship meal. Right? So at this point, I want to make this very clear that being hospitable to one another is a command, but it also should be a desire. It should be something that is in our hearts to do. It isn't because God said, David, you have to assemble. You have to have fellowship together. You have to do things together. You have to be hospitable towards strangers. It's because I want to be hospitable. Because God came down from heaven to be hospitable with me. And he opened his doorway through Jesus Christ's blood so that he can be hospitable with me in heaven. And he didn't do it grumbling. He didn't do it grumbling. It needs to be because we love one another. You know, if we truly love one another, then spending time together should be a desire. I want to. When's the next get together? When's the next Bible study? We should want to do that. We should want to invite the people across the street from our homes and in our neighborhoods and people we meet in the store, at the gas station. We should want to invite them to study the Bible, to be hospitable spiritually. And in regard to hospitality, you know, we learn about the lives of two individual people, Aquila and Priscilla. You think about them. And with all the things that we can read about them, there isn't that much. You know, they're just a couple notable Christians, a man and a wife. Scriptures, they don't have a whole lot to say about these people. But this is what they do say. Priscilla and Aquila took Paul into their home. That's hospitality. Priscilla and Aquila risked their lives to protect Paul. They became good friends and traveled with Paul. Priscilla and Aquila were teachers to Apollos, who was a good, strong man in the faith, but was a little wrong about baptism, confused. And they taught him. Priscilla and Aquila hosted a church in their home. So what does the scripture say? By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. I can safely say that Aquila and Priscilla did that very thing according to John's word here. And the question is, if we look into the mirror of our soul, Can we say that we're genuinely living according to John's word, the way Priscilla and Aquila were, and many of the saints? In the service of our Lord is exactly what godly couples do in that sense. They risk their own lives. What's the underlying factor in all this? Love. Not worldly love, not passionate or sensuous love, not even the kind of love that the world practices in such a good way, but godly love. We call it agape. That's a sacrificial love. That's a serving love. Think about what love is to God, and that's what they did. It shows the extent of their dedication to their Savior, Jesus Christ. Your Savior, my Savior. This shows the extent of that. And not only was the love sacrificial and serving, but Jesus proved that love is also obedient to the Father. What about Abraham? Genesis chapter 18. There's 9 primary things that you would notice when you read about that chapter. Right? These 3 come to him, and he sees them coming, and we read in chapter 18 and verse 2 that he ran to the tent to meet them. We read that he bowed himself to the ground before them. We read that one of the 3 he called Lord, he provided water for them in cleansing and washing their feet and faces. He gave them a place to rest under a comfortable tree. He gave them a morsel of bread so that their hearts might be refreshed. He referred to himself as a servant. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And the 9th thing, he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Right? What do you say to that? I say that's hospitality. That's hospitality. And of those 9 gestures, 3 gestures stand out. Abraham provided food and drink, cakes, milk, calf meat. Abraham provided them with a place where they could have relief from the sun, the heat of the day, where they could rest. And thirdly, Abraham humbled himself, took on the role of a servant. What is that? That's hospitality. Let's just remember these examples, simple, simple examples. Aquila and Priscilla, Abraham, they all had a lot in common, especially this idea of hospitality. And we know that Abraham benefited greatly from his obedience to God and his willingness to serve, because his wife had that child at such an old age. And we know that for all generations, Abraham was greatly known for something, his faith. Remember, hospitality is not a choice, it's a commandment. If I say I have faith, if I say I believe in Jesus Christ, then I have to believe and obey the command. Isn't that something that we all should want to do? Right? And Abraham's not alone. The widow is Zarephath. Think about her, 1 Kings in 17. She had such a generous spirit, a hospitable nature. She fed Elijah food that she needed for herself and for her sons, trusting God to provide. Oh, what about Lydia in Acts chapter 16? After she was baptized, she begged Paul and his company to come into her house and stay there. Or the notable woman in Shunem. You think about what she did, 2 Kings chapter 4. She provided food and drink and shelter and kindness and hospitality to a total stranger, Elisha. And they went way out to do that. She built a place for him on the side of their house. Right? put in a table and a bed and a lampstand and a desk for him to work. That's hospitality. Levi, who gave a great feast. Peter's mother-in-law, after she was healed, who served. Mary and Martha, who served. Great hospitality. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, who talked with Jesus, and afterward, they constrained Jesus to stay with them. Luke 24. There's a lot of good reasons why we should obey the command, why we should practice out of love and out of the goodness of God, this idea of hospitality. But now we ask a question. Who needs hospitality? By now we should have a really good, clear answer. All the saints of God need hospitality. All those who believed and were baptized on that day of Pentecost, all those who were added to them, all those who were added to the church or the body, all those who, like those saints, they went out and day to day breaking bread, having that close friendship with one another, praying together. That's who needs it. Strangers. People who we don't know, never knew. You know, we don't want to forget that's what that word means, love of strangers. We need to spend time with people. When a stranger, you know, I'm working on a course of evangelism outline that I'd like to teach. And one of the most important things is to have a passion for lost souls. Every person you meet that's a stranger, you have to assume they have a lost soul. You have to have that desire, that compassion, that passion to reach that soul for the sake of salvation, for the sake of their eternal lives. Right? That's something we should develop. Realize that that stranger that is in this room today, 9 years ago, I was a stranger to everybody here. You know, 35, 40 minutes ago, I was a stranger to at least three of you here. But if we have that hospitality in our hearts, if we have that compassion, that desire for one another and for souls, we won't be strangers very long. Then we become brethren, brothers and sisters in the work of the Lord. And let's not forget Hebrews chapter 13. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. So next is the how. How ought we do this? We do it as the need arises, right? We don't want to be the wait and see mindset. We don't want to say, well, let's wait until something happens. Let's wait until that trouble really manifests itself. We don't want to be to have that mindset, right? We need to be a person like Paul, who said, in humility, consider others more important than ourselves. We ought to be like that Shunammite woman in 2 Kings, right? She didn't wait for Elijah to say, I need a place to stay. I need food. I need a place to study the scriptures. She persuaded him to eat. She persuaded her husband to make that small upper room and put in a bed and a table and a chair and a lampstand. And that's wonderful when we, as God's people, think about the needs of others, consider the needs of others greater than our own. And, you know, a last point, does God keep track of all this? Does he even care that we do good or don't do good? You bet he does. You know, just a couple of scriptures. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's from Jesus. Right? Jesus said the Son of Man will come in his glory of his Father with angels, and then he will reward each one according to his works. That's what When you remember Elihu, what he said to Job, for he, God, repays man according to his work and makes man to find a reward according to his ways. What was his reward? Sevenfold. Seven times his riches, seven times the servants, seven times the stock, the livestock, seven times. What's our best defense against this error? Moses said, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you?" Deuteronomy. And what's the answer? Fear the Lord your God, number one. Walk in his ways, number two. Love him, serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, number three. Keep the commandments of the Lord and the statutes of the Lord today for your good, number four. That's hospitality. Right? Be diligent to present ourselves approved unto God. That's a defense against error. Remember, everything that exists, it all belongs to God, doesn't it? Everything. David said in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and all the fullness and the world and all those who dwell in it. It all belongs to God. Moses ended that point in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Indeed, the heaven and the highest of the heavens of the Lord of God, also they belong to the Lord your God, also the earth and all that is in it. So Christians, we have to meet and entertain one another with love. We have to meet and greet strangers with love. Both physical and spiritual needs have to be met. And then we use every resource that God has given us, our homes, our cars, our boats, our backyards, our grill, right? Our televisions, if it's used for good. 2 Corinthians 5:10, let's never forget what Paul said. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. God keeps track. So the question is, what have you done? Are you practicing hospitality? You know better than anybody. Are you giving and receiving hospitality? How will God reward you for what you've done when all is said and done? And listen, the greatest reward is Jesus. And the greatest gift from God is Jesus. By accepting his invitation, come unto me all ye that are heavily laden and labored, and I will give you rest. By accepting that invitation, then we will have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And remember that every one of us will have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And so we need to take heed today. Obey the gospel today. You know, the Hebrew writer said, it's appointed unto all men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Is that something that you have done? Have you obeyed the invitation of Jesus Christ? If so, live for him, mind, body, soul. Keep his commandments, walk in his laws, walk in the statutes. And if you have anything that's going on in your life that isn't right, repent of that today. Make your life right with God today. Be restored in that wonderful fellowship with him. If you're here today and you have not obeyed the gospel, Jesus said you must hear and be taught, John 6:45. Have you done that? Jesus said in John 8:24, you must believe that he is the Christ. Do you believe? In Luke 13:3, Jesus also said you must repent or perish. Are you willing to repent of your sins today? And Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. Is that something you're ready to do today? You're still in your sins if you haven't done that. You have no hope of fellowship and the hospitality of the eternal heaven. Finally, Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Are you willing to do that? If you have a need this day, please don't wait for a second. Come forward now as we stand and as we sing.